Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. And if you have your Bible with you, please open it to Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. That's Exodus 17, 8. We return to our story about the first time the children of Israel engage in warfare. There is war, bloody, violent, epic battles in Scripture, and we find one in today's text. What we also find is the faithfulness of God to His people. And the word that describes this is emunah. Emunah. You can spell it E-M-U-N-A-H. This word is used 49 times in Scripture, and it means faithfulness. At its core, this word is defined as steadiness and reliability. This reflects not merely intellectual assent to God's faithfulness for the ancient Jews, but involved a deep relational trust and commitment to the Lord. This concept was crucial in a society where oral agreements and covenants were binding and faithfulness was a highly valued trait, says the Strong's Lexicon. The Israelites depended deeply on God being for them steady and reliable, and we too depend on the living God for this very thing in our own lives. Speaking for myself, it is a comfort and a security to me that God is faithful, steady, and reliable. I love this word, emunah, because it teaches me about the character of my God. I hope you share in this. Well, let's see how the loyalty of God played out one day at a place called Rephidim, when the Amalekites came to war with the Israelites. I'm reading Exodus chapter 17, beginning in verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And so it came about when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The Amalekites were the descendants of Esau and the persistent enemies of Israel. While this is the first time in Scripture the Israelites go to war, it is certainly not the last, and often the Amalekites will be their opponent. Here in the passage I just read, the people of God are novices at war. They haven't fought before, and yet, as I also read, they win. Well, what the Israelites knew was that their only chance was the Lord. Only if they depended on the faithfulness of God to them could they beat the Amalekites. And so we have this scene in which Joshua and the chosen men head down into the valley to fight, while Moses, Aaron, and Ur go to the top of the hill to watch. The dynamic between what happens on the top of the hill and what happens at the bottom of the hill is very interesting. Joshua and the warriors are engaged in a life and death struggle, and when they look up, here is what they see. Moses has the staff of God in his hand. When Moses holds up his hand, the Israelites prevail, but when Moses lets down his hand, the enemy prevails. So, is Moses hoisting his hand with the staff of God some sort of psychop? A psychop being a non-combative military operation aimed at influencing the enemy's state of mind in battle? What Moses does is this psychological warfare. Is the staff like a magic wand that we would read about in a fantasy novel? No. Rather, this is spiritual. When the warrior saw Moses standing on the hilltop with his hand in the air holding the staff of God, they knew Moses was praying for them. He was interceding and asking for the Lord's urgent strength and help. Remember, this is an untrained army's first time fighting. Without God's intervention, they are doomed. But with God, nothing is impossible. We should remember that the staff of God in Moses' hand was a symbol of God's direct and powerful involvement in the events of the Israelite people. This staff or rod goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 4. It was used, for example, to launch miracles that the Lord did in Egypt. This was no magic wand. Rather, the people of God know this staff symbolizes the power of God in the hands of their human leader, Moses. And you may also recall the importance of Moses being seen to be God's chosen leader. Previous to this chapter, the Israelites had pinned their troubles on Moses and criticized him. But here, the very outcome of this battle is in the hands, not of the army, but of the man of God, Moses, praying unto the Lord God. So, what happens on the hilltop is important. Moses lifts up his hand with the staff and prays. Israel is winning. Moses, a man whose hand gets weak as all of ours would, lowers the tired hand and the Amalekites are winning. To ensure victory, Aaron and Ur hold up Moses' hands as Moses sits on the stone. Therefore, Moses' hands were steady until the sunset. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Ultimate victory goes to the Israelites, and they join with Moses to honor the Lord. As the story ends, we read, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua.' And Moses built an altar and named it, 'The Lord is my banner.' This means God himself will be the standard for his people." There in Exodus 17 and verse 12 is our word. Thus Moses' hands were steady until the sunset. That word steady is the word emunah. Thus Moses' hands were emunah until the sunset. Moses' hands were steady, reliable, and faithful. And all of this is a reflection on the God who is steady, reliable, and faithful. The loyal Lord provides the victory. I want to draw out some practical application from this text for us, and I will do so next time. With the time we have remaining, let me say this. We also have our battles to fight. Christians make war every day against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have armor that God has given us to wear. Ephesians 6 speaks of the full armor of God. We wear the belt of truth, the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, combat boots of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. Every day we put this on, at least we must. And we war as part of the process of our sanctification, being made holy as God is holy. And as part of our everyday experience, here is what we know. It is God who gives us the victory. Because God is faithful, he is steady and reliable. And when we submit ourselves to him as our commander, we cannot lose. We will overcome all our enemies throw at us, just like the Israelites did against the Amalekites, because Moses interceded and God answered his prayers out of abundant faithfulness. So in the battle you are facing today, go back and read this text, Exodus 17. Be reminded that if you will believe in the Lord and submit himself to his rule in your life, if you will petition the Spirit of God in prayer and seek to follow his orders, then you too will be victorious. And I will say more about my own experience with this next time as we finish our series, God is Faithful. The second thing I want to say by way of conclusion is that we have just had time to look into two Hebrew words that reflect the faithfulness of God. We have studied emeth, and we have studied only one use of the word emunah. There are other uses. In addition, there are other words in the Bible we could have taken up. For example, hesed. This is a popular Old Testament word that is most often translated kindness, loving kindness and mercy. But it also carries the meaning of loyalty and faithfulness. And there is the word zayir, which is translated as remember. When this word is used in relation to God, it means that God is going to act on whatever he is thinking about. So when the Lord remembers the covenants he has made with his people, he then faithfully acts on those promises. In that sense, he remembers. These are all great words and make for necessary study. And in the New Testament, the Greek word pistos, meaning God's faithfulness to us. Alas, our time is short, and as always, there is more to be said. It has been my desire and plan to speak on the faithfulness of our Lord by way of the words of Scripture that best capture what his faithfulness is. I hope you now have a better understanding of the words of the Lord to us, and I pray you sense afresh and anew that great is his faithfulness to you. Now, this brief reminder, tomorrow is the last day this broadcast will air on certain radio stations, and we will have a new time on KDIA beginning on Monday. So if you only listen on the radio, be sure and prepare to join us on the God Is podcast going forward. On most radio stations, we remain. And always, the podcast is available from godisministry.org. So make plans to be with us going forward. And more next time on the faithfulness of God, because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.